everybody, welcome to the 196th episode of Sawdust Nation Podcast. We are absolutely thrilled to have you because we have a special guest today. But before we get to that, I am Tim of Gears and Fire. With me, as always, is Josh
from North Country Woodworking. And we have
Elena with Kaleidostone Coastal.
Welcome, Elena. I am so excited to have you on the show. You're by far the most interesting guest that we've had today so far.
Wow. Yes,
absolutely. That's a great intro.
Right? So, Elena, well, thank who you. Are you? What do you do? What would you say you do here?
I do here. I lurk around in random live podcasts to look for interesting woodworking friends like you guys. I know, right? Now, I'm actually a mixed media artist when it comes down to it. I love making art, and I am a new woodworker. About 4 years ago, I got into it, and I'm having a good time. Just finished building my first shop, and I say and a lot.
A new shop. Tell us more about this new shop. It's like what everybody wants to hear the most about. Like, we know it's filled with tools, but tell us about the space.
I know, right? Well, it was when I first got onto Instagram and kind of posting content of what I was doing. I decided that I wanted to be like all these awesome Pinterest moms and make my grandkids a playhouse out of pallets. So I was looking for, you know, the recipe on how to do that. picked up like 100 pallets from around the county, brought them home, put them in the driveway, bam, COVID, right? And so I was also having surgery, a second surgery on my arm. And it's you know, for like 8 years, it's been this thing where they're always warning me, you know, make sure you're using it or, you know, your hands, they could stop working. Ooh, sure. Scary, right? And so I'm like, I'm going to build something, not just paint something. And well, it didn't go exactly as I planned. I started collecting stuff from people who were purging their houses during COVID. So like siding, plywood.
Oh, you are hitting all the dumpster buzzwords. I love this. Keep going. Tell me more.
Metal roofing, you know, I wanted it to match my house because it went from just this pallet thing that was going to be impossible. Have you ever tried to take those things apart?
And they are a pain in the butt. Like, you get through about four pallets before you realize, okay, that sawzall is looking real handy and I'm just going to cut slats in between and I'm not done pulling nails. That's about the point where I got to.
I got through about two and I was like, that's it. I'm done. There's got to be an easier way. And so my dad was really, he was all into it. He went into that neighborhood app, like next door or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, are you cleaning out during COVID lockdowns? I'll come with my truck and pick it up. And I don't think it cost me but $300 or $400 when you count like screws and stuff like that to put this playhouse together for my grandkids. And I just absolutely fell in love with building stuff. I watched like, I don't know, 186 hours on triangle math on YouTube.
Is that Pythagorean? To learn how to do the roof.
They said it would use this at some point.
At some point, right? And I'm like, babe, I'm like chasing my husband around. I'm like, there's a formula that I don't remember. So it was a lot of fun. You know, like I come from a family of carpenters and it's kind of, I'd love to build things, but it's very intimidating, you know, just a little person and I'm not supposed to be doing that kind of thing, you know, but it was a lot of fun to do that. Absolutely capable, and I got addicted.
Good for you.
I did. I was like, I can do anything. And we have this old canning kitchen from the 40s, where they used to can and make moonshine out here. And the building was built by people who were drinking the moonshine. It was terrible. And I said, I'm going to turn that into a shop. So it took 3 years, but it's here.
That's so cool. Like I said, the building was there. You just had to improve it with stuff. I mean, from the posts and the stories and everything that I've seen, all the hoops and hurdles that you had to go through, like you have earned that space.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. You made it yours. Yeah, it was. Yeah,
but it's the trials and tribulations. I mean, like, just the flooring alone, that was an interesting adventure.
This is me on my crooked floor. And you know what? I love it because it's mine. So it's all good.
There you go. It's character. It's patina. It's a feature.
It's character.
It's a feature. There you go.
It's a feature.
That's right. That's why we have shims, right? Everything is shimmed in here. It's fine.
You push adjustable feet and everything. And you don't have to worry about it.
That's it.
That's fantastic. So, like, what kind of equipment do you have in your shop right now? Like, I know you got a CNC. That CNC has a name.
I do. It does. My CNC is Wally. And
wow.
Like him. I run a shape. Do you say shape poco or shape a co? I never asked.
Yes.
Shapoko. Okay, yes. So it's not like a thing. Where when I first get upset.
I had the, when I first was looking at CNCs, I was looking at Shapoko and I was looking at X-Carve. And I think I went with X-Carve because I didn't know how to pronounce Shapoko. so it's very hard to talk about a CNC when you're like Shapoko. Right.
I'm both impressed and disappointed. Nicely done.
That's fantastic.
I mean, not to get down that road, but Nick from MPG Creations was kind of a big influence on that as well. Because I knew him. He had one and kind of went down the road there. So you like the movie or is it, you know, let's dive into that a little.
Well, my husband put it together for me and I name all my tools. And so out of the blue, because he thinks it's silly, I'm sure. He was like, you should name this one Wally. And I was just so impressed that he came up with something so perfect. I was like, done. Made him a sticker, gave him some eyeballs. We're good.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I know that was like a huge, one of the big goals. So, you know, and you're like looking back and thinking back to the little girl who was trying to put together a playhouse with leftover scraps and that I actually wanted a CNC and that I was going to sit there and learn it. I don't even recognize myself anymore. And it's been a lot of fun.
Who's this?
That's my CNC
woman?
Yoda right there.
Now you're a capable CNC master.
Well, no, not yet, but
you're getting there.
But I love the possibilities.
Yeah, because I mean, the CNC, like, it helps you make perfect cuts, so to speak. But, like, what do you do with those perfect cuts? Like, what's kind of the stuff are you making? Are you making stuff for fairs, festivals, just stuff for friends? Kind of like walk us down some of your projects.
Well, I was doing a lot of engraving, and I was doing a lot of carving when I first started. I love to hand carve, and I work a lot with epoxy. And so as I started having more and more trouble with, like, the fine motor and using the small blades and stuff, that's when I was like, I should take a look at this. And so now it's actually amazing because I was feeling kind of bad, you know, like, oh, man, it's not me doing it anymore. But at the same time, I can crank out more and personalize more. So it's more personalized gifts, you know, and do some lake signs and address signs, things like that. But mostly I just like to use it to incorporate my art, you know, like a lot of those pieces that I do with epoxy, with CNC cutting, with all of that.
You had a goal. You had an obstacle. You overcame that. And a lot of people, this conversation comes up quite a bit when it comes to CNC, is some people don't consider it like a woodworking craft. And it very much is. And for you, it definitely allowed you to extend your capability and continue your capability. And it's a testament to yourself and basically what a CNC can do for people out there.
It's very true.
Tools are only as good as the people that use them, like anything. And I believe that about a whole range of things. The creative things that come out of a workshop, who cares how it's made? It's the people behind how it's made. So, I mean, kudos to you.
I mean, like you said, Josh, you know, it's not like we could just throw a bunch of 2x4s onto a CNC and say, okay, Alexa, build me a birdhouse. Like, we are not there yet. I did that on purpose. We are not there yet. So, like you said, it is a very fancy tool. Don't get me wrong. It helps you make those, like, specific angles, those contours, 3D carves and stuff like that. But even though we might not be doing some stuff by hand, so to speak, we're still the guys programming. Excuse me. We're still the people programming it. And we are still the ones that have to sand it at the end of the day. We're still the ones that have to finish it. We still have to come up with the picture with the stuff that the machine is carving. You still have to have some like aptitude for designing whatever it is that you're cutting. Mm-hmm. So like, right. I mean, to anyone who says that CNC is not woodworking,
you know, when before I had a CNC, I questioned if it was woodworking. I did, because I didn't understand what it was and what was put into it. It was one of those things where, like, if you don't know, it's easy to say, yeah, it's just a machine that does things for you. But you were saying it perfectly, Tim. You know, there are a lot of things that go into it. There, and I might get a lot of flack for this, but I would say you do everything that everyone else does, except for the point where, you know, the bit touches the wood. And even then you're doing things. You have to monitor that. You have to make sure it's cutting the way it should. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. Machine is a machine. It's only as good as the people that input the stuff. I've made a lot of mistakes because I tried a different program or tried a different bit. And like, it's all a learning curve. Just like, you know, you're learning to work a chisel or anything else in the workshop. So yeah. Just keep an open mind when you don't have a piece of equipment like the CNC or a laser or anything we talk about in that category. And I'm speaking to everyone out there, because sometimes you don't know until you try it. And it extends your creative reach.
Yeah, like it's just a fancier hammer in a sense. I mean,
I'm with you on that.
The thing totally agree. That the CNC gives you is time back. Like, okay, yes. Yeah, if you're one of those people that watch the food cook in the microwave, right, you're losing time. It's like, but if you can actually set that stuff to cook and then go do something else, that is the true value of CNC.
Jason, what's up, man? Jason joined us. I laughed at that comment because it brought me exactly to the point in Independence Day when they're in the basement. And he goes, you don't think we spend like $50,000 for a hammer or $10,000?
I love that movie so much.
For a toilet, yep.
it just brought me right back instantaneously. But Jason goes, unless you're Ben and you don't need to sand because you're just that good. That's an art form. What he does, he don't just 3D carve. I've been there. And like, yes, it takes a little while. But when he's done, he's done. Like, right. He blows off the dust and he's ready to go.
I will contest that a bit. I mean, like, lowering your step over to really, really small just so you don't have to sand. Is that really technique or is that? I don't know.
Hey.
His 3D carves are absolutely amazing. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, like, when you lower your step over to the point where you don't have to sand, you're getting that time back, right? I hate sanding. So if I can put more time into the machine so I can go watch a show or make a sandwich, so be it.
There you go. I mean, it's an employee. It's a way of extending your reach in the shop.
That skill is time management. But all right, Josh, so like, what are you working on?
I'm not working on much. In the shop, I don't have much. I have a lot going. I have a lot of projects that I planned on doing throughout the month and kind of slowly, you know, producing. I don't know if you know this, Wes, and I haven't got it out there. So we had Workbench Con to come back and try to catch up, and then have some family stuff. Or, you know, Heather went out to Chicago and watched the kids the weekend, which was great. But weekends go fast. And now I'm looking at the very few that we have left in the month, and I have to get out there and knock some stuff out. Thankfully, I like to procrastinate and I do better under pressure. So, I should be fine, hopefully, if nothing goes wrong. But I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I probably would have more time if I wasn't so busy, but it happens, right? I have things literally like in the works that I need to hook up still, kind of incorporate into my machinery, which once I do that and I get the go ahead, I can't wait to talk about. And then I also have things that I know I definitely want to try myself that I've seen, kind of experiment with. This year has been a little different than most, where, you know, I have been able to set aside some time and try different things that I've been wanting to do. And I'm artificially kind of making that in the shop, because it's great to make projects. It's great to make things and send them out. But sometimes you got to allow yourself to be creative too. And you got to allow yourself to learn and grow. And not just with projects that you get in. So there's a lot happening behind the scenes for programs and stuff I'm working on. And a lot of learning curves. My full-time job is kind of taken over a little bit as well. In addition to, I'm extending that reach a little bit. And then it's just really want to get out there. I haven't even done any 3D printing at all as well. And I got a bunch of projects I like to line up, like the Zelda shield and the sword and a bunch of nerdy things that I love. Yeah, it's pretty much all ready to go. Once I get a moment to get to do it, I'm going to push play, let that go, get out there, get that laser going, get the CNC going. I'm going to make my first chessboard. I've been wanting to do that for a while, and there's no reason not to at this point. When I can design the file, which I have, just get the board on there to let it carve. It's not going to be a 3D carve. It will be a... basically cutting away the different spots to use epoxy to fill them in later so I can make it, kind of a, I'm not sure what colors I'm going to use, but it's definitely going to be some beautiful wood I've set aside for it and been meaning to do for a couple of years. Not walnut, believe it or not. It's a slab of maple I have, really figured maple. It's dry, really dry. So it's ready and I just need to get it on there and give it to go. And then I really want to also start getting into making furniture again. I've kind of steered away from that due to the fact of having a smaller shop and doing it before. It's just kind of a pain, but I have some ideas and I really want to experiment and come up with a new set of skills and stuff like that. So I might be taking a kind of shift in how I do things in the shop. And I'll get custom orders, but maybe I'll take 4 a month. That way, one a week, or, I could do 2, depending on what they are.
And this is through Etsy and stuff?
I honestly, unless I figure Etsy out in a way where I can do 3D printing on there, I'll probably close down Etsy for a while.
Okay.
I was worried about growth, and I did the growth. And when I moved, it kind of slowed down. And I'm realizing that it's a good thing it did slow down. I can spend more time with my kids, learning a new job. I have a lot of things in the fire, and I still want to make and be part of that. I just want to ensure that I do it in a healthy way.
So are you just taking orders through the Air Force?
Well, through the Air Force and through, I get a lot of orders through Facebook. Majority of them.
Okay.
So because of that, Etsy is a once in a great while, and they have for some reason a very bad reputation when it comes to messaging me when I get a message. So I'll be, I'll get a message or I'll look and it'll be like days old. And you can't do that. You can't have a page like that and maintain it when you have bad messaging systems like that. So I'm maintaining pretty good business with what I currently have. Etsy has been kind of like on the back burner. I like having it up there because it gives me exposure, but it might be something I revisit later on. I'm not going to shut it down and cancel my page, but just kind of give myself a little bit of a break. So balance is this year's big balance, and knowledge is my big thing for this year. I've learned my lessons. I've had a great time going full speed ahead, but you can only do that for so long. I am realizing, I need help in certain areas. Tim, I've talked to you about this with the podcast. We talked about what we needed. We moved on with that. You're helping out. Same thing with that. And with age comes wisdom, I guess you can say. And I'm trying to utilize that as much as I can. So it's a long way of saying I got nothing going on, but but enough to keep me busy. And, I've already talked about the projects that are due well at the end of the month on previous episodes. But I'm still doing things, just not making sawdust as much as I like. So
okay.
To put it in perspective, mm-hmm. I still have the stuff from my goodie bag from WorkbenchCon on my laser. So...
a laser. Someday I'm gonna have one of those. Elena, I don't remember. Like you have a laser. Kind of tell us a little bit more about that. Are you like learning to use it more?
I don't have a laser.
I thought I could swear you had like one of like the little guys. I can't remember what it's called.
I'm just laser focused right now.
Laser focused.
Fair enough. No, I don't. I want one. I'm holding out for a little bit longer.
Fair enough. I said, still like filling out the shop. You got a spot all marked out for it.
You know, I saved a spot for it. And now I don't know that I want one that big, you know, so.
Okay.
You know.
Size does matter when it comes to the laser. I'm just saying, like.
I'm just saying. That's why I left a big empty section over there, but I don't know.
It's like the CNC. None of the big equipment like the CNC, the laser, bandsaw. Like, let's just be honest. These are big equipment. To this day, I walk out in that shop and I'm like, my God, how did this happen? You take these leaps. You know what I'm saying? Make that jump. You're going to realize quickly that for at least personally myself, the laser and the CNC have been game changers. You've already recognized that with the CNC. I believe when I met you, you were thinking about the CNC, right? Is that correct?
No, I was just still learning.
You were still learning. Because you had some questions about it. Sorry.
About the spindle. We were sitting around talking about changing out to a spindle. Yeah.
Spindle is definitely worth it, just saying.
That's less noisy. CNC. More power. BWN CNC.
I should have worn. Anyway, long story short, I got so many shirts, it's hard to. Anyway, if you're thinking about a laser, it's going to be think about it the same way as the CNC. You were hesitant probably to get it at first because it did cost money. I mean, let's be honest, the stuff is not cheap, and it really isn't. No. But it will pay for itself in the long run. And you'll be happy you have it.
So, what brand are you on that you run
your laser? Omtech. I got Omtech. I have a 100-watt CO2 laser. The bed area is 24 by 40, so that's where I can cut. I have pass-through capability. So I have, within the first week of getting it, I actually got an order that maxed out the bed.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It wasn't advertised. It was just happenstance. It happened that way. And I'm so like, fantastic. Some things happen for a reason. And I've utilized that entire space. Not all the time. But it was definitely nice when you need to do ornaments before Christmas. And you can throw roughly, say, 30 on there and knock out 30. And then you can flip them over and do that. And instead of spending, you know, and I've done this. 12, and you have 70 to make, and they're double-sided, and then they don't line up perfectly, and you got to throw away, a quarter of those on another machine I had in the past. But
we don't talk about that machine.
I can't complain because I got it for a steal, but it is.
What
it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. I don't know. Like,
so the one I have in mind is the Omtech. But it's the 80 watt. So I have the exact footprint over there ready.
So do you have it masked off already? Is there tape on the floor?
No.
Yeah, do that so you don't put anything in that space. So 80 watt's a good purchase. I got the 100 watt because of the production I was doing at the time. I wanted a little bit more speed. But 80 watt will do you just fine. I would go 60 because it does okay, but you're going on that lower side. 80 watts, that little fine medium. 80 and 100 is kind of where I think most people should land. 130 or whatever higher, you should be a production shop. You know what I'm saying? You're cranking out things pretty fast, and you can stay within the limitations you should be in. But that's all opinion-based too. There's people with production shops that have 180, and they do just fine.
My gosh. No. Like, just to have a laser, I can cut out like thinner material and not have to rely on the CNC. Because I think there's a good use for both. machines, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on whatever you're cutting, like I could see the benefit of both. Like I hate cutting acrylic on the CNC, but it cuts like butter on the laser. So like I have a lot of acrylic projects in mind that I would love to do that I'm avoiding because I hate cutting that stuff on Betty. it's just terrible. I don't know. I haven't had good luck with it.
If you're ever in Texas, I do know where there's 80 watt not being used. We have a comment from Stan, and not to interrupt you. I'm sorry I did. When I was down in Texas, I helped Stan purchase a laser, and it's been sitting in his warehouse for it's coming up to a year.
You're killing me, Smalls. Like, there are starving people in the world, and you're not using your laser. That's just rude.
Like, so are we driving to Texas?
I guess, yeah.
It's going to be a raid. It's going to be good.
I'm a lot closer than I was, to tell you that much.
There you go. See? I don't know. Like, I could see the benefit of a laser, but, like, you know, if I had, you know, that kind of money lying around, I'd probably opt for a 3D printer or two because where my skill set is, I feel like I could make money quicker with the 3D printer than a laser. Not to say that I couldn't make money with the laser. It's just like where I would want to throw my skill set, I could see myself doing a lot better with a printer or two or three.
Honestly, the age-old question of what would you get first, 3D printer, laser, or CNC? Like, for any maker, I don't think it matters. Like for you, Tim, right. It might make more sense because you have a very particular set of skills. But
yes, I do.
I honestly think any of those three would be beneficial.
Yeah, a laser is definitely on my radar, and it's funny. Like the kids are kind of helping me like map out where we're going to put the laser and stuff like that. Like it's adorable. But I don't know. Like for what I want to do right now today, it's. I'm heading towards Printerville.
And Jason, laser.
Yeah, yeah.
I think arguments could be made for all three. I mean, if you guys could do it over again, and you know what you know now, would you stick with your first initial? Because I think we all got CNCs first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I think I would still do the CNC first.
I think I had a laser first. I don't remember. It's kind of. I think I had a laser first. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did.
Was that just because it was like super cheap and you were in the right place at the right time?
So going into my story real quick, I got a dial laser from Amazon. It was from China. Absolutely. But it was like $300. It had a pretty good working area and I needed and wanted something where I could personalize plaques and stuff. And the CNC to me was kind of intimidating because I knew nothing about them. And like, it was just a lot of money for something I knew nothing about. So I went with a $300 and I made a lot of stuff and was able to do a lot of stuff with that laser. It paid itself back within the first month. Quick story on the CNC. It was actually, Heather is the one that bought that. I kept putting everything into the cart and I'd take everything out, put everything into the cart, take it out. And I would do this like over the course of a couple months. And she asked me for my phone, and I'm like, because she knew what I was doing, and she just pushed buy, and I'm like, we can't undo this, like, I don't want to undo it. I mean, like, so eventually got there and got that, put together. But
that's so
nice. She never did that again, though. I don't know if it was a lesson or.
I say you made the money back on it. I mean. Yeah. You think it wouldn't be a problem?
Have you been putting more things in a cart so that she can?
I try. That? Yeah, it no, doesn't man. Work. Yeah,
that checkout button's still not getting mashed.
No, sure isn't.
But, so, Elena, do a lot of epoxy stuff. I'm kind of curious about how you got into that side of making.
Oh my goodness! So, back in 2014. I started using epoxy to cover my art pieces. So I was just using like tabletop type, just for protective coatings on some of the artwork that I was doing and then coasters. So I was putting my art on coasters, but then putting the glass epoxy finish on top,
Yeah.
And mass producing those in my RV. Okay. So I was
in the RV. That's awesome.
In the RV. So we were like full-time RVing at the time. I was like, I can't not be making. You know, I've got to, I need to do something.
And, I hear you.
Yep. So we didn't use that that huge convection microwave style oven. We never used it. We either used the stovetop or nothing, or we went out to eat. So, yeah, that was my drying rack because it was the only dust-free place in the entire RV. And it was always full of, you know, dripping projects and coasters and whatnot. Yeah. So that's where I started.
I love the traveling maker. I think that's a fantastic image.
Yeah, sure did. There's, all the way across country.
Going all over the U.S. and just seeing the sights.
Yep. And saw our son graduate from basic and then went up and saw our other son come back from deployment and then back down to take care of my mother-in-law for a year when she got sick. And then back to Florida.
And now there you are.
And now here we are out on the Florida. Farm.
Florida.
Florida.
Been there plenty of times. Rains there a lot. I know that.
It does.
I say when I was a kid, we went to Disney World. This was in 88. I was there as a kid. Went to Disney World, got sunburned. Yeah. Us Scottish people, there's no suntans.
You look great, man.
White to pink. I'm just telling you. Straight to crispy.
You look marvelous. You're good.
I usually get burnt in the beginning of the summer, and then after that, I just tan the rest of the summer. It's usually that initial, like, oh, look, you're not used to the sun because of the winter.
Right.
But, no. I'm just a peely white, nonstop peely white.
Do you just keep reburning?
Pretty much. Like they're just
so sad.
No. I always tell the wife, you know, my suntans fall off.
That's not good. It's not good for your skin whatsoever.
I try to avoid it when I can, but
Also, what you guys got working on? I mean, like, is there something coming up you're really excited about? I mean, you've definitely already told us about some convention that I never heard about. So share with us the wealth of information you have.
It's a podcasting convention. I want to hear more about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely would like to.
Oh, it was so much fun. And it was just by chance that we got tickets to it. My husband's a veteran also, and so a lot of times people just send him tickets and they want him to come check out this, that, and the other. And a really good friend of his was like, you got to come check this out. They've got people from all over the country coming down to Orlando. They all have, you know, podcasts or YouTube shows or, you know, live shows. And I know your wife likes that stuff. He was like, do you want to go to Podfest? And I'm like, Podfest? What is that? And of course I want to go. And we went down to the convention center down there. And it was, you know, a lot of influencer-led classes and people who are into different mediums. Like there was a lot of like book publishing type of stuff. And yeah, there was a lot of book publishers there. I walked around for a couple of days. We got really sick that weekend too. So I was like walking around Podfest trying not to die because I wanted to see everything. but it was really interesting, you know, and the community is very different than like what I'm used to with like Workbench Conference and the maker side of our community is just so, you know.
It's awesome. A little, we're just probably less self-involved than.
Yeah, a little like we're not aloof, you know. There's just it was an air in the air, if you will. But it was fun, you know, and I got a lot out of it. A lot of giveaway stuff, like just inundating me with freebies.
The swag bags have swag.
The swag bags had swag, and so that's where I got my microphone.
Oh, well, nice.
Because, Kenny and I were, you know, in the middle of collaboratory, and he's like, we should turn this into a podcast. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. So of course, Kenny's like, please, please go to PodFest and learn everything. And as far as that goes, I didn't learn much on the technical side. So I was seeing kind of a comparison between some events where they're really geared towards your social media presence and pushing yourself out to get followers and being a content creator, not so much about what your content is about.
Oh, and so, how to play the algorithm.
You know me. I'm not a good algorithm player. And I'm more about what is the content, you know? And
right.
And so it was hard for me. There was a hard disconnect about halfway through because it was just really geared towards, it's hard to say because, you know, yes, you're a content creator. Obviously, if you have a podcast, you know,
right.
You want to know how to get that out and market it. And those were great classes, but like getting your follower counts and the importance placed on all of this stuff. And I don't do well with that.
That's it. You have a pretty good following. You have good content. I mean, now how long have you been on IG now?
Since 2020.
Okay. So it kind of like started with the coasters and COVID and stuff like that.
The COVID to get on there.
Right on.
Yeah.
It seems like the Playhouse. Let me go
like on. I was a year late for that. Like I started 2021, but I wasn't too far behind everyone else. Like I created Gears and Fire at the beginning of 2021, but I really didn't do much with it, so to speak, because like I wasn't all that confident. I think I remember having a conversation with you like very, very early on. But like, you know, at that time, again, you're just trying to figure out what the heck you're trying to do. You're not really caring about how many followers you have. And then eventually you kind of figure out, well, if I do get followers, maybe I get a brand. And then it was very quickly I realized like I don't want to be a commercial, so to speak. Like I don't want to sell, you know, this product and make a reel saying that I really love this product, you know, that type of thing. Because like the three companies that reached out to me, like I was just so, I didn't know them, you know what I mean? Like we know Daniel, we know PWNCNC, but I didn't know these other people who are far, far away in another country asking me to make a reel about this one product that I could do without. So like in that, in the beginning, like I said, I was more or less trying to figure out what the heck was the right way to handle myself in this community of makers. I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted people to see what I could do, but I didn't want to be a product, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I think the community that we are in right now, it's less about being a product and more about just like hanging out with the really good people, seeing really awesome stuff that they can make. Like your epoxy work is just too cool. I love seeing, like, I don't know how you do the waves and stuff like that. Like it blows my mind every time I see.
I tried waves stuff before. Like that. It doesn't turn out well at all.
I can't do it. Like Elena has the comparative advantage when it comes to stuff like that. So I need stuff like that. I
played with a lot of epoxy. And so that's, I am so with you on the brand thing, you know, because it's nice to get noticed and say, hey, you know, do you want to use our stuff? Try it. Make us a video. I'm down for that. I've done it. I do it. But I was always more inclined to, this is what I'm using because I'm sharing what I'm doing, hoping other people will want to do it too. Mm-hmm. And so here's the products that I use. If you don't see me using one, it's probably because I don't like it. It's been 10 years since I started. Don't ask me which ones I hate because I'm never going to tell you. You'll just never see them. And so if I find one that I love, I share it, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's so hard to reconcile that with, like, well, are you just going to be a walking billboard? Are you a paid advertiser for everything? Or does what you say, like, are you saying it because you really like it, you know? Right.
I think lines have been drawn. I've seen a definite, like, so it seems like when people get started, you know, Tim, you're hitting on this already. Everyone's like, you know, you're just kind of doing your thing. And then you're like, oh, you know, you can get a brand to do this. And then you can get more if you have more, you know, people following you. And it goes down this road for a while. And then you realize, like, wait a minute. I really want, like you were saying, you know, my work and the stuff I'm using kind of speaking for itself. If you see me using it, I like it. And if you'd never see me use it or try it once and never see it again, that should speak volumes. I one time spoke negatively about our brand, and I removed the story almost, you know, as soon as possible. And it was because I was emotional. I bought a product and I needed it for a very particular set of, for this one project that was due like the next day, and it arrived just on time. So, you know, I'm going to use this tool. I'm going to go ahead and knock this out, be done. Tool breaks within minutes of me using it. Oh, like no. Brand new out of the box.
Oh, no.
I wasn't misusing it. I was using for 10 purposes. It wasn't like, you know, I was doing anything wrong, and it just fell apart. Could I got, you know, a lemon? Absolutely. I didn't feel like that at the time, though. I was pretty upset. Was able to still knock out the project, just not the way I wanted to. And, you know, I did post, unfortunately, speaking ill of that company. And I didn't really give them opportunity to kind of reply. I took that down. You know, I think I did apologize for it online. And because your words and what you do on social media, if you have one follower or 5,000 or 10,000, have meaning. And I've always tried to ensure that even with the podcast, like, yeah, we go down rabbit holes. Sometimes we're more passionate about things, but I try to make sure that we're careful. Because you can say something and someone can get hurt because they're following what you did or said. So I agree with you guys wholeheartedly. You know, same thing with the podcast of this podcast. You know, we kind of looked at it and realized like, what's our core values essentially? And we kind of rewrote the script with that. So I think it's important that we all do that.
Yeah, because again, totally even like that one tool that, like I said, that kind of like failed you, right? The next year they could fix all the problems with it, and they come up with a dynamite tool that is industry leading. And there you are, having said all that stuff, you basically burned a bridge, so to speak. So yeah, like
I doing the passive very carefully.
There you go.
You know, I don't. If I speak to it on the podcast or someone sponsors the podcast, they're vetted. It's something we've been using. It's something that we are really proud to announce. There's a reason why we work with PWN and Daniel, and there's a reason why we work with Total Boat. There's a reason we don't have 50 different sponsors because, you know, like anyone, we could. But it's not worth it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'd rather it be about the makers. Makers we've met, makers we haven't met, about what's going on in our shop, lessons learned, about family, about just BSing and having a good time. Yes. So.
That's I love that. No, that's a good soapbox. Like, you know, I think the cool thing about Daniel is like we met the guy, we know who he is, and we know his product, we know what he stands behind. So it's for me to sell a product from a country far, far away, it's like, it feels very soulless, you know, just to get something free. Like, again, I don't want it to be a commercial, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd rather promote a maker than a product.
I did Indestructible Shoes. They reached out to me. They said, here, we'll send you some shoes. I'm like, that's okay, as long as you replace the shoes I destroyed, because if I like these, I kind of want to, you know. Yeah. And I did the whole thing where, you know, I cut them in half with a bandsaw, tried to pound a nail through it. The only thing I didn't do is I don't think I caught it on fire. I think I did take a torch to it, though. But I had a good time with it. You know, it was fun. And honestly, I still have the shoes they gave me, and I wear them. Like, it's a product that I learned to love because of that. I don't have a relationship where, you know, I have a code or anything, but and there's people I've met that did the same thing, and they absolutely hate them. They are very uncomfortable for them. I would never have gone and had a pair of those shoes, though, if they didn't reach out. So, you know, some ways it's fortunate. Sometimes taking that leap is okay. But I do definitely go by, if you don't hear about it afterwards, it's probably not a good – I don't agree.
Noted. Like, if he's added to me, and you don't.
Gonna go ahead and try this new product. And then never hear about it again at all. Not even a peep.
Not even a peep. Or a beep.
Peep. Easter's coming. Can you believe that?
No. So fast.
As long as it gets warmer, that's fine. I want to open up my garage doors.
80 degrees here today.
Oh, you shut up. Man, come on. It's like 30 degrees here. That's ridiculous.
It was 30-something degrees this morning. It's like a 50-degree temperature change here during the day. It goes from like 30 where you're wearing like a light jacket to like 80 degrees. The window's down. You wear shorts and you're running outside.
I want my garage doors open. I want to put in all the insulation. I want to get that thing wired up. But I want to do it with the garage doors open. Like, I want to let the kids run around outside and then just work in the garage, getting that all that wired up.
Someday. Where are you, Josh?
Illinois. Southern Illinois.
Okay.
Yep. I was Illinois. In Jersey. Yeah, I want to say so bad.
Illinois.
Yeah.
No, he's about 7 hours from me, so I'm gonna drive down there, pick him up, and go to Texas and steal a laser. Right, Stan?
Yeah, seriously.
I know exactly where it is. I have the address and everything.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. See, it's a commute, really. The carpool.
It's an adventure. It's a journey.
It's a journey.
But
I'll wait down to Texas.
Fun journey.
I'll be in Texas again at some point in time. There's schooling and stuff down there, but I'll probably be going to New Mexico before that. So.
New Mexico. Wow, they really got you going all over the place.
Not as much as I used to. I used to go a lot more places, but
pretty tame.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. That's why I'm trying to. We're going to be losing a few people within my work area, my shop, and because of that, you know, we got to make sure we can pick up the slack and make sure that we're proficient. So I'm trying my best to make sure that I am not the linkest link and I can do the things I need to do. That way, you know, them leaving isn't going to hurt us much. I'm still technically in training. So I say technically because, like, I think I'm doing fairly well.
You're doing all right.
There's always more to learn and there's always more to, dive into. So it's much like woodworking. You know, there's so many different avenues you can go into. And I have found that's the stuff I like. Mm-hmm. I like diving into things that have no boundaries to them. And you can go in any direction and just keep going. Even when you think you're an expert in one thing, someone could pop on the podcast or in your DMs and be like, have you ever thought about this? And then you're going down a different rabbit hole.
So. I want to try. Well, first I need to do a successful hand cut dovetail, but at some point I want to do a layered hand cut dovetail. Have you ever seen those?
Yes, they're amazing.
Like, I wanted to do a layered hand cut dovetail.
I forget what they're called, but they're like interlocking dovetails where they kind of
lock. I know what you're talking about, but that's not what I'm saying.
I know, like, but that's what I want to learn how to do because, it's weird. They have to go in a certain way, and they just kind of – that is mind-boggling to me.
Yes. And just, like, kind of mapping out the process of how to make that perfect cut so that it fits perfect. Like, where do you even start? Lots of scrap wood.
The beginning.
Pallets. Lots of pallets.
Pallets.
See, that's the tough thing is the very limited hand tool work I've done. I have noticed you can use pine. Like, you can. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But, like, it will not hold very well. Hardwood and the stuff needs – you're going to get blowout. You're going to have issues. If you use finer goods, you know, quality hardwoods, you're going to actually learn more because you're going to know how that wood's going to react. Versus pine, like, I remember the first time I tried to do – I forget what kind of joint. I might not even have been a real joint in the beginning, but I'm like, you know, I had blowout, you know, like I'm trying to get it all nice and fancy with it. And it's so soft. It's hard to get perfect.
I used Aura Mask on pine. Well, the first time I've ever used Aura Mask ever was this past weekend. And it was on top of pine. Aura Mask? Yeah.
You've never
first time ever. Never.
Welcome to the club, my friend.
Well, I mean, it worked mostly as intended, I guess. But I think that what I was trying to do, like, I think I was moving my V-bit a little too quick or a little too deep or something. A little column A, a little column B. I'm not really sure. But most of the R masks stayed put. And I tried, got it on there as tight as I could. But it was also, I mean, to be fair, it's not R mask's fault that it kind of came off in certain areas. It was crap pine to begin with. And like I said, I think I was just pushing the V-bit a little too quick.
Live and learn. Like a scraper. Mm-hmm. And I get it really on there, and then I, if it's cold out, I'll apply a little bit of heat, not too much. You don't want too much, just a little bit of heat to it, and then do it again. And I let
it like a hair dryer or something.
Yeah, like a little hair dryer. I'm not saying a lot of heat. It adheres a little bit better, because when you're doing a lot of V-bit work in the smaller areas, those will curl up, or if they're not, you know, stuck on there good, they will come off. But if you scrape it on there really good, make sure there's no air bubbles, and then. Cold weather only. Don't do it when it's already hot. You heat it up just a little bit. It helps that glue kind of get into that wood a little.
That's good to know, because my shot stays consistently at 51, 52 degrees. That's where it is right now down here.
Even during the summer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, it is beautiful down here in the summer. I absolutely love it.
Oof. I sweat so bad. Like, it's a love-hate relationship. I don't know about you guys. Well, obviously not you, Tim. But like for me during the winter, I'm either freezing
too, Josh.
Or the door's closed. And then in the summer, the door's open, or I try to close it and turn on the little air conditioner thing I have, and I'm sweating. It's this fall and spring where I thrive.
Fall and spring, okay. But still, the hair dryer thing, I got to try that next time. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because like I said, for what I want to do, remember I was talking about like my product of a cribbage board, how I manufacture as many cribbage boards as I can. Part of that is like doing like a little artistic filigree or something on top. I just like I said, I just want to cut it, spray it, peel it. Here you go, and that's that. But like I said, the V-bit pattern that I'm cutting into it, it has some smaller borders on top, and then in certain areas that Oro Mask was kind of peeling up. Maybe that's just because A, it was crappy pine, B, I didn't get stuck down as well as I thought it would. Didn't turn out terrible.
Little tips and tricks you learn as you go along, and Oro Mask is one of those where I've had my, it works really well sometimes, and other times it didn't. It's like, you know, when you're dealing with, you probably know this, epoxy or any kind of pigmented liquid, if you're using like pine or something that has, you know, that could bleed through like maple, you know, you got to seal it, and then you go ahead and, yep, use your epoxy.
Like for that,
seal it some
but
more.
For that though, I just use like a 50-50 water-based polyurethane. I just paint it on there real light, wipe the excess off, and then I do my stuff. And it never bleeds through.
But the first time I did it, I was doing it for a kernel, and I carved it out on the CNC and went to go put epoxy in it, and it just bled through because I was using ash.
Ow.
And it just looked spider webbed out, and I'm like,
well, gosh darn. Well,
yeah, I can't give that to him. Round two. Some choice words.
When that happens. Said.
Like fire trucker?
Yeah. Or you hold your tongue and say apple.
Yeah.
All those fun stuff. So,
oh gosh.
Yeah, we're going to do it. What is your favorite project you've ever done? And what is the least favorite project you've ever done? Ooh. And Tim, I don't know if we've done this with you either. So I'd like to hear that.
We haven't. Fresh so. Meat.
Where was
all right, later.
Stuff? Oh my goodness.
Favorite
I think project. My favorite project is that one that I just finished a couple of weeks ago with the 3D waves coming out of the epoxy and the turtle.
Yep.
It was literally like almost every medium I work in all in one art piece. That's probably my favorite one so far. Least favorite, back in the day, tumblers. Leave me alone. Don't even ask me.
12-pound tumbler.
I used to do tumblers with like, but the resin tumblers. So yeah. I do all this cool work on them. And I mean, everything from like painted on Harry Potter scenes, whatever, super detailed. And then I'd have to put epoxy on these tumblers while it's rolling and the bubbles in the sky. And I'm such a perfectionist. And I'd see like one tiny little hair. There's a tumbler out there somewhere with like 18 layers of resin. I'm not even joking. It weighs 20 pounds. It's ridiculous. It's a weapon. And so somebody would ask me, oh, will you please make me one of those tumblers? I will price it through the roof. I'm like $100 thinking they'll just walk. And they'll be like, okay, I'll take two. And I'm like, no. So.
At that point, you give them the FU price. You say the no thank you price. Yeah, that's the problem.
I've done that before. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, I priced that too low.
Like, apparently, and Christmas ornaments. Can we add that to it?
Yes. Can we try that again? reverse.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I think like my favorite project was probably that table. Even though the table took me forever to make, it turned out really cool, so and I was really sad to give that to the customer because like I could see that table in my dining room, you know, like for the photo shoot, like we brought that to our living room, like with a fireplace and stuff like that. I'm like, it looks really good right there. I don't want to deliver this. This sucks. Like, I don't want to part with it. You know, like I had cut my teeth on so many disciplines making that table that I really enjoyed the whole process of it. Even with all the trials and tribulations of, you know, like wood movement and stuff like that, like, I don't know. At the end of it, like, I was really proud of it. But I think, like, the worst, I definitely undercharged for that. But at the time that I gave him the price that we agreed on, I didn't really know what a table like that was worth. So, but I'm not going to make anyone cry by actually divulging the price that I actually sold it for. But, like, the project that I will not make anymore is those darn nesting tables. Like, I thought, like, I had, like, a really neat design. I had, like, these stainless steel legs and stuff like that. No, it's just a hot pile of garbage. Like, I don't ever want to make those dumb things again. I don't have a good process for making them. You know, I just, like, that's why they're on there. Look, I can make the thing and... Please don't ask me to make that again. Let me show you other things.
Just put sold out under
sold out.
Sold out.
Indefinitely sold out.
Are there the ones on your webpage? Just out of curiosity. I thought I saw a nesting set.
Yeah, if they're nesting, that's it. I made them three different times. And like each time I thought I was getting a little better. Don't get me wrong, like my process improved every time, but at the end of the day, every single one was always just a pain in the butt. Like, I don't know. It's just, I didn't have a good process for it. Plain and simple. Like, I have to admit my own shortcoming. I did not get that one figured out.
All right, Josh, what are you never making again?
Oh, God.
I gotta know. Come on.
Children.
Ooh. Well, there's definitely been a multitude of. Right. You know,
I'm done with that project.
Two's good enough for me too. But I love my kids. I'm just gonna put
that out there. I do too. But I'd trade any one of them for a plate of waffles.
It's a project I never finished. So I took on a pretty large project, and I've done all my plans in my head. Like, I have always just built things as I went, and I know how it goes because it's like cat in my head. Well, there's a limitation to that, and I didn't get the upgrade version. I got the version that came with. And, I didn't get to finish it. So I couldn't comprehend some of the cuts, and I couldn't, get through it, and I had to get the money back because it just took too long doing it. And I had a lot of issues with that particular piece. I was kind of embarrassed and ashamed that I didn't finish it and I really wanted to. So it was a struggle and a lesson that I have limitations and I can't build everything in my head. That I need to learn other programs and different things to make sure I can go beyond what I can do. Don't take on things that you're not ready for. It's okay if you do it a little bit, but I was not ready for that particular build. I thought it was. Mm-hmm. I was not. And partly I will blame the shop space because A, it was getting very heavy and I could not transfer in and out. When it rained, I couldn't work on it. It was very limiting. So that was the worst project, the one I never want to revisit.
What was it?
It was a wine cabinet. So it was pretty, okay. It was like close to 8 foot tall, 4 feet wide, 4 feet in the width. And like it had a spot for wine bottles, wine glasses. There was going to be electrical light in there. I talked about it on the podcast, I'm sure. It was just one of those things I kept going, wanting to get done. And it just sat there. And it was a limitation upon myself that, I couldn't finish. Right. So that is the worst one because I never got it finished.
What is the best one?
The best one.
Yes. Give us the happy one.
My first shadow box. And I say my first shadow box because it was a challenge. I was kind of overstepping something I never did. Someone trusted something, my work to be representative of their career. They worked with me and it came out good enough. They actually reached out and ordered another shadow box for their father to commemorate his service, which I will be working on here this next week. I say that's the best project because it was something that I saw a lot of people doing and I wanted to do, and someone gave me the opportunity to. And I even told them, I've never built one of these before. I believe that I have no problem doing it. And then Nap and I spent every waking moment on the phone and he was helping me. So
good guy. Solid guy.
Yes. Yep. I had questions on how to do things because, again, I knew how to build it. I knew how to go ahead and cut it. I made the file. But I was able to get through it with his help. And, those are both fun and challenging depending on how you go about doing it. But the very basics and the stuff that I did with that first one has been modified, but the skill set's still there.
Very cool, man. Yeah. It's always the first product that sticks in your head the most.
What was your first products? What was the first thing that got you light bulb?
Under the GNF flag or under the Tim Robertson flag?
Under whatever flag you were flying when we first brought it.
Oh, gosh. Man. I can say the ubiquitous birdhouse with my brother, way back in the day for Cub Scouts. I could say, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. What was my first project? I don't know. I'd want to say that piece of crap birdhouse that me and my brother made way back in the day. I always wish I would have saved that thing.
You know which one it is, because when I ask you that question, you think about it instantly.
Oh. Yeah, my brain went right to it, but I don't know if it's because I enjoyed the process of it or because I now, at this age, enjoy the sentiment of it. You know what I mean?
I think it's everything. Yeah. Your first project is something that changes how you look at things. It changes your view on the world and how it's made. That birdhouse sounds like that was it for you. You did it with your brother. It was your, I'm assuming, your first project you guys did together. So it's worth remembering and acknowledging.
Yeah. Even the egg drop container I made in sixth grade, mousetrap car I made in seventh grade, all those kind of makery, tinkery type stuff. That's the stuff that sticks in my brain.
Did you have fun?
What about you, Elena? Do you remember your first project, Elena?
Was one of those, what are the little CO2 car?
Oh, cool.
Oh,
you remember those little,
what do they call those?
What did they call those?
CO2 car, I guess.
The derby cars. They were
derby cars.
And then you had to race against your classmates with them and all of that. It was hideously ugly. I had so much fun. And, because I cut out the design for it, the shape for it on a bandsaw with my shop teacher who was missing two fingers. And Everybody else was scared of him, and I'm like, show me how to do this.
Good for
he
you.
He had little nubbies and stuff. That's, yeah, I had the bug way back. Just my grandpa was a carpenter, and, you know, I spent so much time with him and watching him work. And I used to play with his tape measure, you know, the old folding ones. That was zigzag. Yep. I used to play with that thing and steal it and hide it. yeah. Under the Kaleidostone thing, I would definitely say my first, like, real woodworking part was the Playhouse. That was my first one.
The Playhouse, sure. Nice.
And she's getting a makeover now. So that's what all of these.
Fresh coat of paint?
No, like a whole new theme for the grandkids because they're bigger now. Nice. You know, it's been 3 and a half, almost 4 years. And so it's turning into a cafe, like a coffee house. So all those signs I'm making on the CNC are for this Playhouse. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. It has oak flooring, for goodness sake. It's just silly.
Of course it does.
And a red metal roof. I mean, it's too adorable. And perfect triangle cuts.
Tin roof. Rusted.
That's right. Yeah, no. And so I think it's the first thing that pops into my head. You know, because I wasn't really working with wood before that. I wasn't making projects by hand other than, you know, carving here and there, little things. But that was the first, hey, let me pull out that table saw from the bottom of the tool room. That we bought it in Okinawa like 20 years ago. It's just
what brand is it? Know?
It's a Delta.
Really? From Okinawa? Wow.
Rickety. Well, we bought it on base, like at the DX. But it was just like, it wasn't until I finished, you guys, it wasn't until I finished building the Playhouse that I realized how dangerous and unsafe my table saw was and how I was lucky to be alive that now I have this fear of my perfectly good new table saw. Terrified of it. I was cutting.
They didn't have saw stand back in those days.
Oh my goodness. I was cutting these huge pieces on this little no fear, and now I'm like I don't want to get impaled.
But you bravely conquered the table saw, so that's progress.
I did.
I don't get me wrong, I still fear my table saw, but I still bravely charge into it.
Yeah, like I follow all the rules. I have a checklist in my head, you know.
I always like make sure to like, take my strings and put the strings in.
Just cut them.
You know,
look, I like tugging on them.
I just pull like tugging them. No, it just gone now. Yeah, but it's been
very cool.
It's been fun learning from you with the CNC. Like Tim has taught me so much. He helped me cut my first rectangle. We joke about it, but
nice.
Wally was sitting here for 6 months, you know, and I was too scared to do anything with it. I didn't want to break this expensive machine and have to sit down and learn. So I called him one day. I said, will you please FaceTime me after work today? I need to cut something. And he's like, Elena, you're going to cut a rectangle today. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And I saved that. I still have it. It's my first first carve.
Did you put a date on it and everything?
I think it's
so judge me. You do have it.
That judge. That's a badge of honor.
I'm like,
hey, we all have things in our shop that we keep.
I think your biggest anxiety was the fact that you didn't have dust collection hooked up yet. And so sawdust was kind of going everywhere in your new shop.
No. It was the spoil board. I didn't want to cut into my pretty new. And I couldn't figure out how to make this spoil board. It just, like, nothing was computing. I was so intimidated by it. I literally could have just screwed down a piece of MDF on there and just called it a day. But I was like, I don't know how to cut all these holes. I don't know how to do all of these things. And so I just let it sit. And I still don't have a spoil board, and I don't care.
It'll get there. Spoil board, MDF is cheap.
MDF is cheap. But can I ask you guys like a technical thing if you've had this happen before? Because I didn't know it was a thing. Okay, so while I was making the little drive-through sign, it was literally the end of the project. I was cutting just the perimeter, little border. It was cutting not even an eighth of an inch down, just a little channel to throw some epoxy in. And I hear this ridiculous noise, and the bit is drifting down, right? And so I, okay. of course, I turn it all off, and it's cut this channel down to the table. And when I pulled it back, it was still tight. I had a bad collet. Like, the collet looked janky. I don't even know at what point that happened. Have you ever had a collet that just wouldn't grab anymore?
Yes, I have.
That is going to sound ridiculous.
The one that came with my machine is pretty janky. I had to get a different one. So I don't know where it's. I don't know if it's a collet that comes with that unbranded spindle, or if it's just mm-hmm. the one that Shapeco sources separately. Whatever it is, like, it's worth buying a different collet.
Precision yes. collet, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So I had a spare, yeah, thank
same,
goodness.
The same thing happened to mine, too. So
you've done this before. Oh, yay.
Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Of course, because I'm like,
I don't understand. Like, I ranked on that guy. Like, what's going on?
You got to be a special kind of ding dong not to have, like, everything nope. was tight. When it came back, it was all tight, but yet the bit's falling out. I'm like, I don't understand. Right. Just wrecked my little nope. MDF thing.
No worries. Okay. You got this.
Okay.
All weird okay. sorts of things happen when you CNC or anything, really. I've seen things you just can't explain. Still trying to explain. Man.
Well, Josh, we are a little over an hour. Do you want to put a bow on this guy?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for joining us for the 196th episode of Sawdust Nation Podcast. We are getting so much closer to our 200th episode. We are going to be doing something pretty special for that. We're going to be doing a maker giveaway. Josh, what else we got going on for that?
Basically, the maker giveaway. And then we might be giving away something a little bit extra. I'm still working on some of those details. But again, we're doing the maker giveaway because we're getting back to our roots. We want to make sure that people are getting things from other makers and getting those makers' names out. So if you're interested, let us know. We'll put you on the list.
Very cool. Elena, thank you again for joining us. Where can people find you? Like, what's your account info and stuff? Where can we look for you?
I am at Kaleidostone Coastal on Instagram. That's pretty much the only platform I use. And it's like kaleidoscope, but with a stone.
So, but with a stone. Okay. With a
stone. Yes. Thank you guys absolutely so much beautiful. For having me. It was so much fun.
Absolute blast. It's like, it's a reverse collaboratory. And for those of you who don't know, pay attention yes. on Instagram. Every once in a while, we host a little something called Collaboratory. And by we, I mean Elena and Kenny.
Yes. Once a month on Wednesday night, we do Collaboratory Live, where we talk to other makers and just collaborate together. It's a lot of fun. And the chat is lit.
There you go.
It usually is. Mm-hmm. Lots of sass. Lots of sass. That's what I hear anyway. Lots of sass. Well, Josh, any words of wisdom?
Let's see. Find yourself within the maker community. Find yourself in your shop. Make sure you stay true to that.
Go out to the shop. Make some sawdust. Be humble. If you know everything, you can't learn anything.
Preach.
If you think you know everything, you don't. That's when things get
scary. If you think you know everything, you're probably going to lose a finger.
That's when you start losing fingers.
Right.
All right, guys. Once again, thank you for joining us for the 196th episode of Sawdust Nation Podcast. Sawdust Nation Podcast. Out. Oot.